Hey, this is the Battle Proof podcast at the Blue Wire Studios at Wynn Las Vegas.
Well, hello, hello, hello. It's Vegas Paulie C.
Very good. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
Would you like me to do it?
Yeah, go on.
Well, hello, hello, hello. It's Vegas Paulie C.
I was doing it in the car, and it's like when you go, well, hello, 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 it's almost a tongue twister and you say it wrong.
Really?
I thought I was going to need a couple of times, but I did it in one go.
It's pretty easy for me at this point.
Yeah. So how come, what's your real name is?
Paul Contino.
And so there's Paulie C.
Right.
Paulie C, were you called Paulie C like as a kid or something?
No, what happened was when I went to TikTok in very early 2022, every name was taken.
Oh, okay.
So I knew I wanted to be Vegas Paul.
Yeah.
And my grandmother used to call me Paulie when I was a little kid, and my last name is C, and so Vegas Paulie C was available. I don't have the time or the capability to spend a lot of energy on stuff like that. So Vegas Paulie C was available. I said, wow, I'm going to go with that. It took me about 5 minutes.
What made you want to go to TikTok?
I had started a company called The Comp Wallet, and I really believed delusionally that I was going to change the mailing industry in the casinos. In other words, everybody gets these mailers every week from the casinos. And I had gone across country with my girlfriend in 2019, and I had been to Biloxi and Shreveport and all these casinos that I'm never going to go back to in the middle of the country. And I got back to New York, and there was mail. And I added up the value of all the mail that I got just from places that I'm never going to go back to. And it came to like $30 or $40 worth of mail over a couple of weeks. And I said to myself, my goodness, they're going to waste $1,000 trying to get me back to these casinos in the middle of the country that I just happened to be driving by. There should be a central place electronically to replace the snail mail.
Right.
So I developed the Comp Wallet. I get very, very, very overly enthusiastic about things that I do, things that I enjoy. And I started putting money into it. And by 2021, I had been watching TikTok. I had been watching social media, and I had seen the dinosaur on there. And the dinosaur had 199,000 followers. And I met her, and she said she'll work for me for $4,000 a month. And I said, you know, I still had some money left over from my Google contract at the time, and I was overly aggressive, and I gave her the $4,000 a month. And she worked for me for, you know, she worked October, November, December, January. She worked 4 months, and I felt like she was slacking. This is how I ended up on the road.
Is this like a PR? Like, she helping you to,
well,
to
she,
actually
she's
create
very,
content?
She's actually, you know, the God's honest truth is she's amazing at what she does. She has 1.6 million followers on TikTok. She has 1 million followers on Instagram. She's very good at what she does. Food centric.
So you approached her?
I approached her.
Okay.
And I met with her that night, and she had a partner with her. And there's a funny story about that. Her partner said, I'll do TikTok for 2000. And she said she would do Instagram for 2000. So I gave them the money, and
I'll do Facebook for 1000.
Right. Right. Well, that just blows through. And the guy that did the TikTok, he ran off with my $2,000, and very funny story. I'm not going to give you his name because he probably doesn't want his name out there, but he got a big job at Vegas.com. And a couple of weeks ago, I saw that he was working for Vegas.com, and I said, hey, dude, why don't you give me back the $2,000 that you stole 2 years ago? When I tell you that he gave me that minute faster than you get a cash advance in a casino, and I know how to get a cash advance in a casino, trust me on that one. Within 2 minutes, he says, what's your PayPal? And he sent me back the $2,000. I was blown away. I was
that's
like,
cool.
Wow. Yeah. In Vegas, that's like unheard of.
That's like so, every
once a lifetime.
People would
once a lifetime. So he sent me the money back. So she worked for me all the way through February, and we didn't get along at all because she's very, very, very different than me. I'm not going to spend all kinds of time talking about that, but trust
actually,
me.
Let me butt in.
Sure.
She was working for you.
Right.
You were trying to work out how to create content. How many followers did you have?
None.
Over this like 6 to 8 months that you worked
okay.
with her? Like from zero
so
to what?
When
like,
she, well, I know what she did for me. So when she started my TikTok, she ended up working for me through June. So she was supposed to walk. She made me promises that she did not keep. That's just the bottom line.
Well, let's get to like how many, from zero to how many
she
followers
When she handed me back my TikTok account, I had 74,000.
74,000.
Right. But I started my own.
Yeah. So let's start from 74,000, right?
I have 308.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So.
But that's not the real growth story. When she gave me back my Instagram, it only had 42,000. And I didn't touch that for 1 year. I left it alone. And I got involved with a company from Europe who said, it's very important that you have an Instagram. And I said, oh, I have an Instagram. And like, how many followers do you have? I said, 42,000, but I haven't touched it in a year. They said, well, you better touch it. That was on June 22nd of last year. But my Instagram, I've gotten up from 42 to 207. And my Instagram this month, I've gotten 40,000 followers. I have no idea why, just the month of January.
Yeah. Well, so, obviously, like, you're on this show now because I followed you. And I put a lot of, maybe like over 100 people or something followed you that I kind of put you onto them.
The Instagram's going really well.
Yeah. So, but they're really like carbon copies of the TikTok videos.
They're carbon copies.
Yeah.
And the only reason I did that is because this company in Europe, who subsequently left the market, they were a gaming company.
Yeah.
Geobet or something like that. They told me that Instagram is important. So she was working for me, but she wasn't walking. Like, I wanted to walk talk because she used to walk talk for me and talk about my company. So on February 1st of 2022, I hit the road right outside the Palazzo. And I would never forget, I turned it on. I had two people, three people, 20 people.
I was doing a live thing. A
couple hundred people. And I said, wow, this is, and I wasn't styled in any way, shape or form at that time. In fact, I went back to look. It was April 4th of 2023 was the first time I ended a video with
So Vegas, it's not that long ago.
Vegas Pauly C. And I just ended it normal. But I'm excited when I do my videos. And I'm in Las Vegas. And it's got you all hopped up. And it's got you crazy. So it just became stylized. And as it became stylized, April, May, June, people started coming up to me on the strip saying, Vegas Pauly C. And I was like, oh, wow. Somebody likes this besides me. And, you know, I just kind of...
Yeah, you hear people like... I think, like, if I saw you, I'd do the same thing. You hear people in the background going, Vegas, Pauly C. They don't really talk to you, but they just love saying that.
Right. People from Instagram don't really know what I look like.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really my face.
Well, you don't show your face really on anything.
Yeah, all over YouTube.
Right. Yeah. YouTube because of this whole rant thing that you've been doing.
Right. Because of my rant.
But hopefully you're through that rant. Now you're in nice studio.
I'll never be through it.
Okay. But you're in a better place now, right now, right? So
every day's a new day.
It is.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. So like, what if you had to like, what if you couldn't like do what you're doing in Vegas and you had to be somewhere else like Jersey? I was thinking Vegas, Jersey, see. Or something.
Well, you know, I tell everybody this and so many people have heard it so many times. You don't make Vegas. Vegas makes you.
Yeah.
So if I was in Jersey or I was in New York or I was in Florida or I was in Hawaii, I know for, well, first of all, I probably never would have gotten off the ground because I never would have gotten a critical mass.
Yeah.
But I would get 1/10 of the views and 1/10 of the interaction on all my videos.
Yeah, probably
so right now, whatever I put on Instagram gets 100,000 automatically. So if I was in wherever, well, now I would have never gotten off the ground.
Yeah.
Vegas, come on, Vegas makes people.
Yeah.
Vegas, and this is a constant conversation I have with casino executives, but they don't want to hear it because they can't control social media. And they do not like in casinos what they cannot control. But if someone, and there's one guy downtown and he says I can use his name, Jonathan Jossel at the Plaza, he gets it. Vegas and social media go together.
Yeah.
Like peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
You know?
Because like, everyone's walking around with a phone has followers.
If I could get, listen, this is grandiose, but if I could get control of a property and do what I wanted to do, first of all, no more billboards, no more television, no more radio, no more advertising of any kind. There's no reason for it. You know, I met with, and no names, I met with the insiders at the Fontainebleau before they opened. And I spent an hour beating them up over this. I said, what are you doing? How could you open with no database? How could you open with no social media presence? And their argument to me was shock and awe. We're going to open up to the world. And everybody, I said, that's not the way psychology works. I said, that's not the way the human body works. I said, if you went to the gym and you worked out once, does that matter to your body? Is that going to have any kind of positive effect? No. You should have been building your presence for 6 months. And I started to tell them what you could have done. I said, you could have started 6 months ago.
I could have actually done it for like 15 years.
Well, I'm just saying if they started 6 months before they opened.
Yeah.
And they could have done contests and picked up all sorts of data. They could have had people doing signups, gamblers doing signups. My comp wallet, which was a total failure. I'm not going to pretend it was not a total failure in any way. It was. I lost $450,000 on it.
Do you think, is it?
I just want to say one thing. It's got 21,000 gamblers on it.
Oh,
that's
really?
Signed up for the comp wallet because I was doing contests.
Yeah.
So I know that there's a way to meld social media and an app and the internet. There's so many ideas in my crazy head.
Do you think
nobody wants to hear them?
Okay. Like when you say it's a failure, okay, like version 1, 2, 3, people go, you know, 1.0, 2.0 when they update apps. The casino wallet, because your social media is still casino comp wallet.
Right.
That's who you've got to follow. So
right.
If they want to follow you, Vegas Pauly C would come up, but it is casino comp wallet.
I just haven't bothered to change that.
Yeah. Okay. And that's what it is. So essentially I could flip it back at you. You're not promoting Casino Comp Wallet, right? And you're saying it's a failure. Well, and now you're there. I mean, so it could come.
It could come back. It could come back.
Okay.
I got contacted. Funny story. I got contacted by a tech company about a week ago.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to talk to you about it.
And I said, I'm not giving you a penny. So they said, okay, well, we'd like to talk to you about it. I hate when people do this. I hate when people DM me on Instagram or TikTok, and I give them my phone number and they don't follow up. Like, don't start a whole conversation with me on Instagram and then not follow. I grant that it's only been a week, but there's been people that I've had extensive conversations with, and I very freely and easily give up my phone number. Like, there's 100,000 people out there with my personal phone number. I don't care. And, you know, if I start with you, that's not really a good example because it's only been a week, but there's so many people I've started with that never followed up. And it's annoying, to be honest with you.
Well, I think maybe some people reach out because they think they know why they want to reach out, and then they realize that it's not
a good idea. They did a little more research and I'm too crazy for them. That's also possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
When was the first time you came to Vegas? Because the whole Vegas city and the building of it is...
July 1987.
87.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hacienda. Three nights. I never forget my friend Bruce reading the newspaper. He had all the newspapers on the floor. He's a voracious.
Because you get the newspaper when you stay in the hotel.
We used to get
right?
the newspapers back in the day. That's the only place you had information from. Right, there was no internet. I came with $1,300 that I had taken out of my business instead of paying my phone bills at the time.
So you came here purely to gamble?
Purely to gamble. I mean, it was on my mind to get to Vegas for, you know, the minute I turned 21. But when you're a compulsive gambler, you know, your plans are always being pushed and moved and you're changing your mind and you're winning, you're losing. But I finally got it together and I got here when I was 23.
I like friends that gamble and stuff. I always go like, how do you do? And go, yeah, I think I broke even. But like, I think break even means they lost a lot.
I'm down $4 million in my lifetime.
Okay.
But honestly, I think about probably 40% of it is the stock market. But I'm definitely down well over 2 million, like, you know, internet poker, casinos, a ton of money in horse racing. I don't know what it is about those horses. You know, I know I'm going to lose, but I just love betting on those.
It is fun.
On those nags.
You know, I'm from the UK, right. And horse racing is like really the main gambling thing. You can go anywhere, any town and gamble on horses.
When I die, if God says to me, you lost $1 million on horses, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. When I did it when I was young and you bet on the name, once you're invested, it doesn't matter how much money, on the name, and you go, that's the one that's going to win. It's like the name of the horse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're in it. I mean, that's a good thing. Well, that's the key thing about live sports. If you don't watch it live, you're not in. You're not right, in it to win it. You're not like part of it. Like, I'm a big fan of UFC. Like, I have to watch the fights live. If you don't watch it live and then you find out what the result is, there's really no point in watching it. All the excitement's gone.
That's a very interesting thing that you're saying, though, because I got to tell you something interesting. Right. So I read a tremendous number of gambling.
Well, articles. I said it was interesting, but you're going to say something a little bit more interesting.
Well, probably. And I'm not trying to one-up you, but I just got to tell you this because I think it's just so interesting. I read a lot of gambling articles, and there was a professional sports gambler. He goes all over the country, and he's always trying to beat the lines. And he'll put 5 dimes down in the sports book, and then sometimes they'll limit him. I'll try and get another 5 dimes.
What's a dime? 100 or something?
Five dimes is $5,000. A dime is $1,000.
Oh, okay.
So in the article, which it was a pretty extensive article, they said to him, do you watch the games? And he was talking about one particular game where he laid -5 and the line eventually went to -10. And he said, no, once I get my number, which was -5 in this case, and he knew it should be -10. Once I get my number, I move on with something else in my life. Like, that's the level that he's on. He doesn't even watch the games.
Okay. They had to do greyhound racing down in Florida.
Right.
And I've gambled on that on birthdays.
They might have banned that.
Maybe. Florida. Yeah, this is about 10, 15 years ago now. But when I did, all the fun went away. Because, like, in the UK, it's very standard. Like, you see what it is, like 10-1 odds or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can pay the tax on it, so you don't have to pay any taxes. There are no taxes.
Called fixed race betting.
Okay, yeah. And then 10-1, I want to fix it at 10-1.
I know.
Because then it will drop. When I went to the greyhound races, I was going on like a 50-1 greyhound. It's going awesome. And then I was just seeing it go down and down and down. There's no way to fix it. And I was going, what's the point of betting at 50-1 when they're going to start? So that just put me off gambling.
Well, New Jersey actually legalized fixed odds betting. But I don't think it was ever, I don't know how they're going to do it. It was never executed on.
So sport, like, I mean, this is kind of run by a sports book. This is, you know, partnered.
Right.
Blue Wire Studios and stuff. Like sportsbook betting, like you see a lot of stuff like all the gambling apps now. That's a big thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I know that you're not into the sports betting, but can you hold a price? Like, you know, say if I bet on a UFC fighter and
yeah,
you can fix it now.
Right.
I want
it's
that.
Always fixed.
It's always fixed.
It's only the horse racing, because horse racing is paramutual betting. And there's nobody standing on the other side of your bet. You're just betting against the public.
Okay.
So there's no action. I know how it goes. I mean, that's where the word chalk came from. You know where the word chalk came from, right?
You're saying chalk as in like chalk.
The favorite. The favorite. Okay, so the favorite in the United States. This is an interesting thing. I should have told this on my live a year ago.
Well, here we go.
The favorite is the chalk. You know why it's the chalk? Because the bookmaker is constantly erasing and using his chalk to change the odds on the favorites.
And is he changing it
the favorite,
in their favor?
Well, no, but the point is that the odds change way faster on the favorites in the race than they do on the long shots. So that's why the favorites became known as the chalk.
Okay.
Do you understand? Because the bookmakers in England were using chalk.
Yeah. But have you ever seen Peaky Blinders?
No. I can't follow that kind of stuff because I can't follow the accent.
It's not that bad.
It's bad for me.
Okay. Well, I can understand you and them.
Right. Well, you're not bad.
No, well.
Yours is very light.
Here's the statue of Elvis. Elvis the King. Do they have a date on here? I keep saying 1970, but I think it's a little earlier than that. I think maybe he performed here from like a 66 to 70. So the hotel must have opened a little earlier. Great movie, by the way, if you want to check out the movie Elvis. Very good.
So, okay, New Yorker, were you in New York 9/11?
Well, no, I was at my house and I was watching on television, and there was one day that you could smell it. You know, you could smell the electrical fire and, you know.
So, but on that day, you were in Long Island.
I was in Long Island. Well, I had a payphone company that had payphones all over New York City.
Yeah, I heard.
Our payphones that day doubled. The volume doubled on the payphones because everybody was walking uptown and trying to make phone calls because cellular was out.
Yeah.
But the tragedy of that, I mean, nobody could forget that. I mean, I was 35 miles east of it, and I was in no way participating. My sister was right there. She took me some videos of it, but
yeah.
I mean, it's not something you'll ever forget. Certainly.
No. I used to go to New York a lot because I was in the music business.
Okay.
All through the 90s, really, up to 9/11. When 9/11 happened, that's when really, if you look at the timing stuff, that's when digital came in and stuff. So the whole record industry changed. Really,
yeah, that's around the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I used to go up the World Trade Center like every time. I used to go to New York maybe like 6-7 times a year.
Wow.
Yeah. Virgin Atlantic. And maybe not the first morning, but one morning I would go up.
Yeah.
All the time. And I think like 2 or 3 times I actually went on the roof and stuff. I got pictures of myself on the roof. We don't have to talk about 9/11.
But it is,
you know, never forget, right? It is something that you never forget.
No.
It's like a death in the family. Like it changed the world, how you thought about everything, like that something could happen.
It made you feel that, you know, that there was a vulnerability that you weren't aware of before. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think like a lot, I mean, even myself, I don't think I flew for about a year.
Yeah.
Because of that. So it was changed. Okay. So 21, you came to Vegas.
23.
So are you at 23?
I was 23. Yeah.
Okay. And this is 87?
July of 87.
Okay. So you had this $1,300. What did you do with it?
I played blackjack. I lost it at the Hacienda. I actually got to gamble at the Mint because Binion's had not bought it yet. Binion's bought it in late 87. And I went downtown, and you know, the first time I saw Caesar's Sportsbook, I walked in there. I looked up at all the numbers, and you know, I more or less, I don't think I actually cried, but I know my eyes welled up. I know I got emotional. I'd never seen anything like it.
Seeing Vegas?
Seeing the sports book. No, seeing the sports book at Caesars. Caesars used to be the number one sports book in Las Vegas all the way through like the mid 80s. And then they opened the sports book at the Hilton, I think in maybe that year or the following year, the Super Book.
So it's just like loads of TV screens and stuff.
Yeah, loads of TV screens, loads of numbers. And
you can't, that would one make you go like have tears seeing it.
Yeah, because I mean, we could go into this if you want, but it's going to take me like a minute.
No, that's not.
Okay. All right.
Like on that. All right.
Well, it wasn't actually on that. It was actually the reason why that does that.
Go ahead.
So I was born with a genetic mutation called CCAATT. So I do not create neurotransmitters. So the one place in my brain where most of my dopamine sits is in around numbers and around visual cues. So that kind of stuff is extremely profound for me because I'm never normal dopaminergically. So that's why I'm a compulsive gambler. There was a help group on Yahoo for this. It was called the CCAATT help group. They called it the Double Cats. And everybody in there was either an alcoholic, a heroin addict, on speed, suicidal, or a compulsive gambler. And that was up for a couple of years, and I used to be a member of it, and I used to talk to other people in there, and then Yahoo groups shut down. So there's actually a genetic reason why I am who I am.
I've never heard of Yahoo groups.
Yeah, they closed it a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But the mutation is called CCAATT.
Why do you call it a mutation?
Because it's a rare genetic mutation. In other words, those three alleles. A C is where it shouldn't be, an A is where it shouldn't be, and a T is where it shouldn't be.
Is this something like a doctor can diagnose you? Is this something that you've diagnosed yourself with?
Well, what happened was they decoded the genome in 2010. I took my genetic information from 23andMe, my raw letters. I sent it to a company called Promthese. It comes back. They tell you what you're susceptible to in every area. Like, I already knew I had a colon cancer thing going on, but of course I'm susceptible to colon cancer. And they tell you, you know, 23andMe only tells you the basic stuff, like,
yeah,
does cilantro taste like soap or does it not taste like soap? Are you bald or are you not bald? Do you have blue eyes or are you not a blue? Like, they'll tell you the basic stuff. If 23andMe wanted to, they could tell you everything that's wrong with you genetically. They don't want to put that information out there because they're afraid to tell the public. As an extension of that, there are tests right now that I could take or you could take, blood tests, that will tell you every single nascent cancer in your body that is just starting to grow. I'm talking about tumors that are 2 or 3 weeks old. But what are they going to do with that? What are they going to do with that product? If they put that product out there, there's going to be a rush to the doctors that's going to shut down the medical community.
Yeah.
So I'm not a conspiracy theorist. This is factual stuff I'm talking.
Okay. Yeah, it's just I don't know a lot about it. This is the first I'm hearing it. So
a lot of people, it's the first time they've heard it.
Yeah. So 87 Vegas. Oh, so the 1300, did you like lose it?
I lost the whole thing.
Like very quickly?
No, I think it was like 3 days of misery.
Okay.
Like I was never winning. Well, no, I was never really winning. It was a 3 day bleed out.
Have you got is there like certain games that you play?
I like to play blackjack and craps.
Blackjack. Okay.
Because they're both pretty close to even with the house, blackjack and craps.
Yeah. So pretty even. Like obviously just playing blackjack at home, the house always has like, you know, if they have the same as you, they win.
Okay, so the high limit blackjack here and in most of the places in Vegas is 0.0026. So for every $1,000 you turn over, you lose $2.60.
So you can be at the table for a long time, like the whole night and stuff.
Yeah, a long time.
And
that's why they barely comp table players anymore.
Do you think it's a bit like, you know, like basketball players, they're on fire. They like, you know, oh, three pointer. Is it like that with blackjack? Is that you feel like you're on fire, like you get 10 in a row, like I'll double down.
You know, I can only tell you, one person's story doesn't cover all the numerical, you know, permutations.
Well, we don't care about everyone else's story.
But I lost pretty badly or pretty solidly for 4 straight years. And then 2022, I'm sorry, 2023, I just exploded. And I won. And I knew it wasn't going to last, but I had 6 trips in a row to Vegas that I won. And not small money either, like, you know, over $300,000. And then it ended. It ended in September of last year.
Okay.
And I've been losing. I've had to really stop playing because I'm running out of money, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I guess if you're a billionaire, then you can afford it. I guess it depends how bad your habit is. But let's get back to TikTok a little bit.
Okay.
So really like TikTok, you went from like around 74,000 to over 300,000. So you could say you're on your way to like 500,000, right, this year?
No, my TikTok is not growing at all.
No?
For a couple of reasons. Primarily because the scammers got a hold of my YouTube, my TikTok. They got a hold of me as an existence on TikTok. I don't know why.
So like kind of like bots and stuff like that.
Yeah, the bots are attacking me voraciously. I almost feel like they're nipping at my heels. And people contact me all the time. They say, is this you? Someone actually completely and totally copied every video in my account and contacts people and says, invest in crypto, invest in real estate. So they've got my TikTok down to zero.
Does that happen to everyone?
I have no idea.
Because like you could say 300,000 isn't a lot when someone's got 300 million or something. But maybe the more followers you have, maybe you have a team that can stop a lot of that. Like
There's no team for Vegas Police.
Right. But if people are reaching out and saying, this account has done this.
I've reported it to TikTok. You know, every time I see it, I report it. They don't do anything. So I'm not saying that I've given up on TikTok, but you know, if you're looking for that narcissistic adoration, which is, you know, when you're in social media, it's extremely narcissistic. And I know exactly what narcissistic adoration feels like at this point because I've studied it and I'm experiencing it for the first time in my life. So I do look at the TikTok and it goes up 100 a day. But of course, I'm over at Instagram watching it go up 1,000 a day, 2,000 a day. One day it went up 3,000.
Can you make money on Instagram?
No.
Do you think people, I guess like, you know, Instagram, maybe it's more like you have to, like a sponsor.
You can make money on Instagram. You can make money anywhere you want.
Yeah.
If you are willing to sell your tukas.
Yeah.
I will not accept money from anybody.
Right.
So I could, right now, I always tell my chat, you know, I have a very active live show where I talk to everybody and they all laugh. But right now I know my value is about $700. So if I...
What, like a year or a day? Or?
For a post.
Okay.
Because I've been offered $700.
Yeah.
So that's how I, that's why I think I'm worth $700. So if I go to my 200,000 subscribers and I say, you know, try this hair tonic. It's, you know, great. They'll give me $700 for the post. But where's my, you know, I destroy my credibility. Nobody wants to see that.
Is there a difference between a follower and a subscriber? Like you, cause you follow someone and now there's all this subscription thing coming.
So Instagram, I set up subscription on Instagram. Before I opened the taco shop, because I, you know, I'm very honest. I'm going to be honest with you. I started to get really desperate for money because I'm not making any money. I'm making $5,000 a month for my social media. I show my social media every month. I show exactly what I make. So I'm making around $5,000 and I want to go vertical. I want to start a business, obviously, because I don't want to promote other people. I want to promote myself.
Yeah.
So right before I opened the taco shop, which I'm now making decent money from, I set up Instagram subscriber and I forgot about it. And one day, and I'm very bad at all this tech stuff, but one day I noticed I had 44 people. So now I do an Instagram subscriber post pretty much every other day. And I have 66 people.
So, is that, so I'm making pay for that?
$5.
Okay. Do you set what the subscription rate is?
Well, it's set at $5, but I think they can give me more.
I guess like, cause a lot of people use like creators use, Patreon as well.
People can give you, listen, there's a guy on YouTube. And I actually named him the VPC Soap Company. 15 seconds on this. They used to have operas on the radio.
I like this story.
They used to have 15 seconds. I'm sorry. They used to have operas on the radio, right? So the operas would be on the radio. The people would stand at the mics. You know what 1940s look like with these kind of big mics?
I do, yeah. But right, okay. Kids wouldn't.
The soap company started sponsoring them. So what did they become? Soap operas. So there's a guy in Texas. For some reason, he loves the Vegas Poli C show. And he sends me money all the time on YouTube. I haven't even been on YouTube in 2 weeks. But when I'm live on TikTok, he actually sends me money to my YouTube. He sends me what's called super chats. Mm-hmm. And not small money. He sends me $199 at a time. So this guy sends me about $1,500 a month. So like my entire YouTube earnings is really from this guy in Texas who I call VPC Soap Company.
Does he call himself that, or you?
He calls him. He renamed himself that. my the people that follow me, like they'll get in on the joke. Like there's always jokes going on, and they'll rename themselves.
Yeah, yeah. But the TikTok thing, like TikTok, is quite. You're watching what you want to. I mean, social media. You're watching what you want to see.
Right.
So that's where the advertising is, because if you're advertising to the person that likes your stuff, that's far better than a billboard now.
Okay. Well, my TikTok, I get a penny roughly for every, I think it's 18 views now that go over 6 seconds. So on a 100,000 view video, I get a penny for about 40% of them. So I'm making $40, you know, $40 for 100,000 views. I'm going to make 5,000 this month, in the month of January, because I had a couple of good days. But in February, if I only made 2,000, it would not surprise me at all. TikTok for me. Now, there are people who are way talented, you know, more talented than I am, who put up every TikTok they put up, they get 3, 4, 5 million views. They're making bank.
Yeah, I mean, those TikToks are totally different, because the majority of those are like kids in their bedroom. Yeah. Talented singers or dancers.
There's just way more talent out there than I am. But listen.
Yeah, TikTok is a talent-driven platform, because they bought Musical.ly, which is the American version, and then TikTok became
I'm happy with the 5,000 a month.
Yeah, that's a good start. I mean, at least you probably...
Well, it's not going up.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so when you're doing TikTok, though, it's not... You're not pushing yourself as a character. This was only came up when this YouTube, like you'd start showing your face and talking about this situation that you had with this other person.
Well, I don't.
When you follow the TikTok stream,
right?
It is interesting, because I followed it.
Right.
Got 100 people say, oh, you should follow this guy.
Right.
So you're walking around with a phone, which anyone can do, and you're doing just like, if you walk through the wind, you'd just be talking your thoughts, or you would have some news. You're shooting your own B-roll. And then you're doing your own live read, and that's the TikTok, and that's the stuff that's doing really well. So you were saying a couple of the Sphere videos, that kind of blew up a little bit. Rather than 100,000 views, you'd get like a 2 million on the Sphere, right?
I think I got 7 million on one. And
so essentially when the Sphere opened, you were there, and you were one of those Vegas influencers.
Right.
And that showed that a lot of value for you and the Sphere for having...
So I already know I had 155,000 when the Sphere hit.
So it's doubled from the Sphere.
Well, no. So the Sphere got me up to about 200.
Okay.
But the floods in Vegas got me up to 30,000.
Those are great. It's almost like they're like Paramount videos. Like on a lot of Paramount. They're fake.
I'm a very, very honest person. I cannot wait for monsoon season.
more floods.
Yeah, I want to stand out there. I mean, it gets a lot of views. It gets a lot of interest.
Where are the areas that it floods?
So right by the link.
Right by. Is that where that's where the big wheel is?
In fact,
is.
This year I'm really going to prepare. I'm going to get myself like some waist highs. And I'm going to really get in there.
Get a little speedboat, pull your sea speedboat.
I'll do it.
Get sponsorship on that.
I'll do whatever I got to do.
Battle-proof speedboat.
Right. Well, hello, hello, hello. It's Vegas Poli C. And this particular piece of property, 10 acres right here on the strip in front of the convention center, just sold for $125 million. It's 10 acres to Flag Luxury Group. This particular piece of property is the last part of the Riviera that used to be here, which the convention center bought for $162 million some years ago. So they made a nice profit here. Vegas Poli C.
When you do the live feeds, like, so you'd walk, maybe you walk from your home down the street to a hotel, like every morning or every other morning when you're here.
So from my house to the Mandalay Bay, 6 miles.
Okay. Say, it doesn't matter how many people are following, whether it's 500 or 1,000, 2,000, but that's very interactive. And you're talking a lot of interesting information. People are asking you questions from all previous
TikToks.
Do you get a lot of new people following you from the live?
Okay.
Because there's a lot of time doing it, right?
It's really a shame because I used to be able to go into, up until February of 93, you were able to go into a casino, do your shtick, you know, whatever my shtick was, my crazy voices, my jumping around, I was able to do it from a casino. So up until February of 93, when TikTok shut down, like you even showing a casino, I was able to get 400 followers. February of 2023.
Right, yeah. I was going 93.
Well, you know,
time traveler.
I've been compulsively gambling since the 90s, so that's why that happens. So in February of 2023, I would be able to go anytime I wanted. Like, and I'm so sorry I didn't take more advantage of this. I could get 400 followers an hour in any casino in America. Just by running around, showing the slot machines and talking my silliness.
Bow on the street isn't bringing the
follow. Nowhere the close.
And you can't shoot, like, it. What's the reason? Because there are numbers being seen and people playing and...
Because TikTok decided that gambling was anathema to them. And they got really crazy.
Yeah, because when you're doing something in your own bedroom, you're a 13-year-old...
I have two slot machines in my bedroom. Well, right outside my bedroom. TikTok still doesn't want those.
Right. Mm. It's crazy they won't let you do that because everything is about gambling. The apps, like all the sponsors of shows, sports events, like I'm sure the Super Bowl.
But TikTok made a decision that it was anti-gambling.
Yeah.
It was. I think a lot of it was because they were bowing to pressure from Congress. You know, they were under investigation in Congress. But
it's a shame they don't do that on the, I don't know.
There was a guy in Minnesota who was live streaming slots and he was taking money from people. I know his name, but I'm not going to say it. And he got arrested. And when he got arrested, they made TikTok a party to the arrest. Mm-hmm. And that's when TikTok shut everything down.
Okay. So you think Instagram could be like the new TikTok for you moving forward?
You know, a lot of people think that I'm doing this, and this is a fight I'm having on YouTube right now, because I'll fight with anybody on YouTube. A lot of people think I'm doing this to like get freebies. Yeah. Or a lot of people think I'm doing this to get fame. Yeah. Or a lot of people think I'm doing this for the narcissistic adoration, which is fantastic.
Did you originally do it for the casino complex?
I'm doing it so that I could start a business and promote the business.
Right.
So right now it's the restaurant business. Did I in a million years think I was going to be in the restaurant business? No, but I met two super talented guys and I got into the restaurant business. I've been in business for, I think today's the 23rd day.
Yeah. So I ate there yesterday.
It's not the worst, right?
It's not the worst. It's good.
Oh, you liked it? Okay. Yeah, really I mean, good. I love it.
It's authentic, right?
I love it.
Yeah.
I eat there at least 5 times a week and it's cheap.
So the one they cut, that's the one I went for.
That's the Trompo.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They call that Al Pastor. I'm still learning all the terminology.
Yeah. It was really, really good.
Yeah. And the guys, so the guy I got involved with, I had no idea. He's the nicest guy in the world.
He's got a similar name to you. Like you're going Vegas, Poli C and he.
Well, I call him El Rey de los Tacos. And
it's called, but he's Jose the taco guy, right?
Well, that's my partner. Okay. So Jose the taco guy and I are partners. And then we went partners with this guy who's got so much talent.
And he started in his backyard.
He was in his backyard. You ever see the movie MASH? You ever see the television show MASH?
I hated MASH.
Okay. But the point is his backyard looked like MASH. In other words, there were like tents.
Okay.
And you didn't know whether he was operating or creating you a meal, whatever. And he had a line there. So it's not rocket science. If the guy had a line in his backyard, you put him in a restaurant.
Yeah. So the whole neighborhood wanted to eat his food.
Right.
And now it's now you can go to it.
And now it's on the corner of Lamb and Washington. It's 4440 Washington.
Yeah. I definitely recommend people to go if they're in Vegas. How far, like if you're on the strip?
Well, like, here's my honest recommendation about Vegas. If you're going to, I mean, I just had two slices of pizza and two Cokes for $52. I made a video about it.
It's crazy.
Disgusting.
It's crazy.
So if you're going to eat what I just ate for $52, get in an Uber and go and eat the tacos.
Yeah. Cause I had two and they're $3.50 and they don't even push.
If you're going to eat at MGM or Caesars and pay those ridiculous food court prices for garbage. I mean, the pizza I just had, I'm not telling you this cause I have a taco shop. The pizza I just had was a 5 at best. It was average at best. Amory said it stunk, but I'll give them average. $52 for two slices and two Cokes? No.
I went to I think the first time I went to Vegas was, I think it was 96. It was actually, it was my brother, myself, and my mom and dad. They wanted us to see Vegas. So we did the Grand Canyon thing. Then we like drove to Vegas. It was the night after the Tyson fight where Tupac got shot. That's okay. How I remember it. Like,
yeah.
And so we stayed at the Luxor. So being from England, seeing this pyramid hotel in the middle of the desert was really cool. Jeremy Clarkson was actually staying there on the day as well. He's a guy that did motor. Oh man, my mind's gone blank. I've lived in America for too long now,
right.
But he's a car guy, a TV host, very well known, and. But anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up, and it's 96, but the buffet from memory, it was breakfast, all you can eat, $2.99 for breakfast, lunch, $3.99, and dinner, $4.99, under $5. And it's the same that you can have now. So you can grab as much shrimp as you want, a lobster and steak. Like it was affordable, right?
I'm about to go off on this. Here's a little preview of my social media.
You can't get
media.
A water for $5, right?
I'm about to go off on this in social media because it angers me so much. As far as I'm concerned, this is the fault of the Nevada Gaming Commission.
You get a little bit closer.
This is the fault of the Nevada Gaming Commission because they should have never allowed, there's two things that they allowed. They allowed Caesars to get either 8 or 9 properties and MGM to get either 8 or 9 properties. So they've created a monopolistic situation south of the Mirage. But on top of that, they allowed this entity to be created called Vici, V-I-C-I, and they allowed the hotel casinos to mortgage themselves up to their eyeballs by having an incestuous deal between the casino hotel and a real estate trust, a REIT, R-E-I-T, they're called REITs. And they allow this incestuous deal to take place where the REIT makes a deal with the hotel sells its own tukus to the REIT sets the rate on the rent as high as they can get away with, and the hotel pays the rent. So every single thing right now in Las Vegas is mortgaged up to its eyeballs.
Could it potentially be, because that just the way you just explained that kind of quite quickly reminds me a little bit of the housing crisis. Like they were reselling more.
Well, I don't know how the destruction.
Kind of like that on a large scale?
It's going to destroy. It's destroying Vegas. Caesars, if you follow Caesars the way I do, Caesars was going to have this big profit in the fourth quarter from F1 race and all that.
I want to talk to you about that.
Caesars lost money in the fourth quarter. They went from a profit to a loss. They're ripping people off. I just paid $52. I mean, you can look at my Instagram now. I'm not going to look at it, obviously, on the show. I know that video had over 100,000 views in an hour when I put it up there. The whole country is seeing that. They're killing the golden goose. And to me, there are three primary guilty parties. The Nevada Gaming Commission, who allowed them to acquire too many properties. These REITs,
Vegas Paulie C's views, by the way.
Well, I'm about to go crazy. These REITs, which mortgage these places up to their eyeballs, to the point where they're paying rent. The rent on Bellagio is $20 million a month. That's how much they pay the REIT. It might even be higher now. And then the casinos themselves.
Are they breaking even or are they actually losing money?
Well, Caesars lost money last quarter. I haven't seen the financials yet, but they announced that it was a surprise. You know, they keep telling you they're going to make money. Oh, surprise, we lost money. So they had put out what's called an 8K. They put it out in January 18th, I think. Surprise, we lost money. I don't know how much it is yet, but.
Wasn't there a story on TikTok on Caesars where they just bought land right next to them?
No, that's MGM, who's not much better, but that's MGM, between the MGM and the Cosmo.
Maybe some of the losses are because they're putting money in, they're having to redo rooms. A lot of these hotels.
Well, I mean, that's what Steve Wynn used to say. So, Steve Wynn used to say,
a lot of businesses, we're putting it back in.
But all of these companies are valued with no
Try and speak a little bit closer.
All of these companies are valued with no regard to CapEx. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, the depreciation, for instance, on Resorts World, because I read their financials. Resorts World is a $4 billion property. The daily depreciation on Resorts World is roughly $600,000 a day. It's $18 million a month. Why? Because if you take $4 billion and you divide it by 20, what do you have?
I've got no idea.
$200 million. If you divide $200 million by 365, you have roughly $500,000-$600,000 a day. So that's the depreciation of Resorts World over 20 years. Everything needs to be replaced. I mean, I could talk about this endlessly. I mean, it starts to bore people, but it brought a lot of people into my channel who are financial people.
Yeah. Well, like I say, what you're talking about, and, you know, it's you talking. You're not promoting. You're not like this TikToker, like, oh, let's see you do some breakdance moves that you do in your bedroom.
No, it's not like that. I don't care about any of that.
The TikTok, if people follow you on TikTok and Instagram, they are very interesting. Yeah, they're like quick. I mean, the cool thing about they're like quick news bites on things. And that's why they're working for you.
Right.
Like, obviously, you can, if you talk about a news story, you can go down any wormhole on any story you want.
Right.
Right. I think, like, let's, on the positive front, like, because like, I'm a big fan of like the documentary building of the Hoover Dam. I'm a big fan of like the building of Vegas. You know, I've been to the Mob Museum. Those stories, like how they've built, are amazing. I think like you could bring up anything now in 2024 through 2023 and put a negative spin on it because everyone, you know, I think it was last year or maybe the year before where the term, in my opinion, everyone was saying, in my opinion. So everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a phone. Everyone can start a show. Everyone can say whatever they want. I mean, like the election, like now with the two guys that are going up.
Yeah, but I make a point of not doing politics.
Yeah. No, I'm just bringing it up that like, you know, it's like this side or that side, you can take a side, positive and negative, but on the positive side of Vegas, like, the story of like this being built in the middle of the desert and having to build the Hoover Dam and like getting water from Lake Mead to this is how electricity
necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah. I think so.
That should be Vegas's motto. Necessity is the mother of invention.
I don't even know what that means.
It means when you have an absolute need for something, you'll come up with a solution.
Right.
So they had nothing here. I mean, people don't know this. Almost nobody knows this. Gambling was outlawed here in 1910. And it stayed illegal from 1910. And the people that had the little card rooms and stuff, they all shut that down. Mm. It stayed illegal all the way till 1931. 1931, between the Depression and the fact that this town was tiny and there was no water and the Hoover Dam was just starting to be built, maybe it was announced, they were desperate for something here. So that's why they legalized gambling in 1931. So necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah. The film Casino, they highlight, you know, near the end, what Vegas is now. And that's probably a 20 year plus film, like 20 years ago.
Right.
Where like, it's just like, even like neighborhoods, you can, when you're buying something and then knocking it down, the value is going up crazy, right? You know, cause people buy like waterfront property.
Right.
And they buy it for like 20 million to knock the house down, to spend $50 million to build a house, right? And that's what's happening here on a huge scale, like just when all those hotels are blowing, imploding and building. So I think you can come to Vegas. I mean, for me, I think if you get on a plane and you get an Uber or a limo and you stay in a nice hotel, I think it's a great place. As far as like gambling, it's hit and miss because you can say gambling, you can see a lot of people on the corners of the street. They had money. And now they don't have money and they don't have a house. So you can take that approach. But where I'm like full circle, like what do you think, like the Mob Museum, if someone was to come to Vegas, where would you say to go other than like
I think the Mob Museum is the greatest thing in the world.
I think it's an amazing place.
I mean, if somebody would
Do you know a lot about like, because I've been there and I was taking pictures. And obviously, if you've got
Bob
Siegel, like, do you know like the full story outside of the basic?
Yes.
Can you do like a little like rundown on it? Not crazy.
Of what? Of Bugsy Siegel?
Well, all I know is that you have this desert. You got the gambling side. Bugsy, it's like mob money.
Okay, Bugsy Siegel was a California guy. He was in Los Angeles. Yeah. And there was a gambling boat called the SS Rex. In fact, casino chips from it from 1938 are probably, I think they're the most valuable casino chips, but somebody could correct me on that. So they were running gambling boats. The mob was running gambling boats.
I see. That's interesting.
The mob was running gambling boats. The SSRX was one of them. They were running gambling boats outside of Los Angeles. And you had to go past 3 miles past territorial waters, whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Bugsy was not the first person here. There was a guy who started a hotel casino called the El Rancho.
Yeah.
Who stopped. He stopped on the corner of what is now Sahara and the Boulevard. Right where it's now empty lot. It's now the fairgrounds.
I actually wrote that guy's name down.
Is it Wilkerson?
Thomas Hull, is it?
Oh, Hull, right, okay.
Yeah.
So that was 1941. So he thought to himself is, wouldn't it be great if there was a swimming pool here? And then everything kind of flowed from there.
Yeah, water and deserts, like the oasis. Thing,
right, but Bugsy came over, and you know, a lot of people don't know this either. Bugsy bought controlling interest in the El Cortez downtown because he wanted to train dealers for the Flamingo out on the strip. And the story that I read, and I certainly could be corrected, is that their fathers of Las Vegas knew who Bugsy was. They knew he was in the mob. They were very uncomfortable with it, so they chased him out of town. Many people know this. But the actual city limit for Las Vegas ends at the Stratosphere. So where you see that sign, welcome to Las Vegas, the other one, not the one downtown.
Not the south one.
Right. That's the border between Las Vegas and Paradise. So the town that we're in right now is Paradise.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not technically in Las Vegas. We're in Paradise.
Right.
So they didn't really want Bugsy in the city. So Bugsy came out to the highway and he took over that project. I think the name of the guy running the project was Billy Wilkerson. But I could be totally wrong because I haven't wikied it in, you know, a month.
And we haven't got a fact checker.
We haven't got a fact checker.
Right.
So he took over that project from Billy Wilkerson. And, you know, he spent too much money. He started running the money through there. He was out here with his Gumar, his mistress, Virginia Hill, right? And he started spending a lot of money. And by the time he got open, he was in the hole for $6 million. Supposedly, he opened up on Christmas Day or the day after Christmas. Everybody came out from Los Angeles. They were here for 2 days. They left. And there was a tremendous amount of pressure on Meyer Lansky, who was the real money behind the deal, to do something about Bugsy, because Bugsy had an F you attitude about it. He's like, yeah, I spent $6 million, but you can go F yourselves. What are you going to do to me? And then, of course, he got shot on his couch in Beverly Hills. He got shot right through the eyes, through the eye. And Meyer Lansky and his associates took over the Flamingo. And from what I can remember, from what I read, 1947, which was the following year, there was like a record year for them. I think they made, I'm making this number up, so I won't, but
well,
I think they made,
don't make it up then. Just made a lot of money. So
in the millions. Yeah. They made in the millions in 1947. It was the beginning. Like everybody got, you know, everybody, it grabbed their attention. Like if you've lived in America and you understand America and you've been part of the American economic experience, I don't care what business you're in. Like I'm in the taco shop business right now. There must be 2,000 taco shops in Las Vegas. If someone makes money at something, back when I was in the telecommunications business, everyone I knew that grew up with went into the same business as me. You know, whatever you're in, it gets copied over and over and over and over again. The problem in Las Vegas is that these guys see a plot of land. They talk to the banks. They pick up the plot of land. They get themselves $4 billion in financing. I'm talking about you, Fontainebleau and Resorts World. And they think it's going to be easy. And so there's $8 billion invested north of here. So this is the Wynn Encore. North of here, Resorts World and Fontainebleau add up to $8 billion.
I stayed at Resorts World. It was really nice. I stayed at the Conrad.
The two of them together, $8 billion investment, I'm pretty certain that as we sit here, are making zero money per hour. An $8 billion investment, when you add the two of them together, there's no return. Here's my rough math. Resorts World's only throwing off $200 million a year in positive cash flow. And I'm very close to certain, although I have some interesting meetings over the rest of the week, I'm very close to certain that Fontainebleau is losing at least $200 million a year. So you have one making $200 million and one losing $200 million. $8 billion. You know what the capital cost is on $8 billion? Well, let's just use 7%. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. 7% of $8 billion is $560 million. $560 million is $1.5 million a day. So they need to make $1.5 million a day just to pay the interest on what's going on north of here. Mm-hmm. And they're making zero. The point I'm trying to make is it's an extremely tough business.
Yeah. Well, I think any business is, you know,
no, but this business, is extremely tough, and it draws people in who don't know what they're doing and they fall flat on their face.
I think so with the Mob Museum and the building of Vegas, which I find like just the starting of something amazing, right?
Yeah.
One thing I kind of wrote down that you just don't see anymore, and like, I think it's a big shame. Is Elvis. Like Elvis has like is almost like not welcome here anymore.
Well, it's not that he's not welcome. What happened?
The last thing you see on Elvis is like whenever like, oh, let's get married, and you go to some like, you know, okay, chapel and get married by Elvis.
But the real story behind Elvis now is the company that bought Elvis is not user friendly. So they're not easily licensing things.
Okay. Something like Fountain Blue, like, because they're new and they spent a load of money.
But they're
my advice would be try and get something Elvis. But like bring a bit of old school back.
But they're not user friendly. The company that controls Elvis is not user friendly.
Yeah, but it's a big company. Like if you call a big company,
they sued. Let me tell you how not user friendly they are. They sued the chapels for using Elvis. They sued wedding chapels. They're not user friendly.
Yeah. Well, that's just trademark infringement.
All right,
like,
but it doesn't matter. Be cool, man. You know what I'm saying? Like if I controlled Elvis, Elvis would be all. Be cool. The problem with these corporations is. And I'll stand on this. And I know it sounds totally facile. They're not cool.
Yeah. But corporations also run by people, and it's just having the right people. Like, cause you can call any.
You see this corporation right here, Wynn Encore?
Yeah.
It's probably the only cool corporation in Las Vegas because Steve left a legacy of cool people who are chill. He used to call them. And I'm using this quote over and over again lately because there's such a lack of it in Las Vegas. Steve called them gorgeous personalities. The corporate executives, I do a lot of, sort of schmoozing with Wynn because they're the only people that really talk to me. The corporate executives that I deal with at the Wynn Encore are gorgeous personalities. You meet them. They're not off-putting. They're not cold. They have creativity. They want to engage you. They want to talk to you. I mean, I could name five of them right now, you know, mostly in nightlife because that's who I'm dealing with. They're gorgeous personalities. If you go over to, do you think there's a single gorgeous personality at Caesars? I don't know. It's nasty money, guys, run by a CEO who's nasty. The CEO said, and I quote, yes, I'm closing the food lounges and you can check this. You can Google me on this. Let them go to McDonald's on the way home. That's the CEO of Caesars in 2021. He's a money guy. He's as cold as ice. That's what's ruining Vegas, is the fact that all of these money guys came in. And do you know why the money guys came in? Because the 2007 takeover between Caesars and Harrah's, which put them $30 billion in the hole, started this whole cascade of sharps in the money business from New York who all thought they can come out here and mortgage this town up to its eyeballs. And you know what? They did it. And they ruined Las Vegas. And I'm really not kidding, and I'm very upset about it. You can see I'm upset about it. I'll get super heated.
Right.
They have ruined Las Vegas.
Let me see if I can spin something around here.
Okay.
What can you talk positively about Vegas? Because you come to Vegas, like when you watch your TikTok channels, like people like are going Vegas.
Okay, Boise. Well, I love North Vegas. So there's a line between the Mirage over here, which is now going to be the Hard Rock. There's a line between, I call it Freedom.
Oh, yeah, the Mirage is the Hard Rock.
I call it Freedom Town, okay? And I was just about to do a video on this, but I was walking with Amory. I didn't have a chance. And I did a video on this a year ago, but it needs an update. So there's a line on the Strip, North Strip, South Strip. So right at that line, Mirage, right, which is going to be the Hard Rock.
And that's on the north. So.
Right, that's the north side. Starting there, all the way up on the left, and starting with the Venetian Palazzo, all the way up on the right, if you really look at it, it's all independently owned properties. And for better or worse, even though the story at the Fontainebleau is not good right now, whatever, even though the story at Resorts World has not been good in the past, whatever. But for better or for worse, go up on the left side. Mirage Hard Rock, owned by the tribal people from the Seminole tribe from Florida. Independent, privately owned. Treasure Island, Phil Ruffin, entrepreneur, amazing guy, independently, privately owned. The Empty Lot, owned by Wynn Encore, which even though it's a corporation, it only has one property right now in Las Vegas and has Steve Wynn's legacy and does not really operate. It's a friendly corporation, if you can believe that. Then you go further up. Again, Phil Ruffin, independent. The Stratosphere, independent. Resorts World, independent. Fontainebleau, independent. These are all independent properties, standalone properties that are competing with one another. It's interesting. It's fun. They're always doing great things. I mean, right now, people say to me, like, what is the most comping hotel casino in Las Vegas? Well, for a couple of months, I can tell you conclusively, it was the Mirage. Why? Because MGM had to get rid of it in order to buy the Cosmopolitan. It was bought by a tribal concern from Florida, the Seminole tribal people. And the Seminole tribe from Florida has money up to its eyeballs. It's drowning in cash. So they came out to Vegas and they're willing to spend the money. They're willing to spend the cash. Caesars has, between its corporate leaseholds and its regular public debt, has $28 billion in debt. It's $265,000 an hour. You can Google me on this. What is Caesars going to do? You think they're going to do anything for you, ladies and gentlemen? They ain't going to do nothing for you except rob your tuchus all day long. They have to come up with, there's a line in a movie, Goodfellas, F you, pay me. F you, pay me. They have to come up with $265,000 every hour. Now, I don't know the finances behind the Seminole tribe because it's private, but I can tell you right now, they don't need to come up with $265,000 every hour to run the Mirage. And it makes a huge difference. And it's the Nevada Gaming Commission that allowed this to happen. They should have never allowed the Eldorado Caesars merger. It should have never happened. And now we have a mess on our hands.
So what about like the south side? Because I've driven like—
That's all corporate.
Well, no, even more south.
Oh,
where
wow.
It's starting to get, it's a bit
residential. South Point?
I think so, where it's a bit more residential.
South Point, fantastic. Yeah. It's owned by an individual operator. He's from the Benny Binion School. He's so from the Benny Binion School of Gaming that he has a statue of Benny Binion in the South Point over when you walk into the near the horse arena. So Michael Gaughan gets it. He's an individual. He's trying to do something. He's got the $6 steak and eggs. He has all 3-2 on blackjack. He's got cheap rooms. If you talk to the locals in Las Vegas, you will never hear a bad word about the South Point. They love the South Point because it's run by a guy who doesn't really have any debt. He's doing his thing out there. He wants to take care of the customers. He wants to give to the people. The individual properties run by individual operators who want to do something for the players, who want to have fun. Like I know for, I mean, I don't know him. I never met him, but I know that Derek Stevens wants to have fun in life. I just know that he does. He runs the Circa. He made an incredible property over there. It's fun. The Circa is fun.
Is that the one with the like?
That's the one with the
big TV.
That's the one with the big TV by the pool area.
Yeah, yeah.
No corporation in Las Vegas could have possibly come up with Circa Swim. That had to be an individual guy who had a vision and built. He built something fun. The corporations, to me, and I'm always looking for fun, and I'm always looking for laughs, and I'm always looking for a good time. Corporations are buzzkills. I think they're ruining Las Vegas.
On comping, like, so when I come to Vegas, I pretty much like use two apps like Expedia and Hotel Tonight and just compare the best rates and stuff. I'm
right.
Kind of more into, I'm not into too much gold like the old Scott. So I really like the Cosmopolitan, Vidara, Aria area.
Yeah.
Just because like more of a modern vibe. I'm just trying to think where I was, my mind's gone a little bit blank on what I was about to say then.
Something about comping.
Yes, exactly. So you come to Vegas and most people or a lot of people, they gamble and they want the room comped, like things comped. Or even if you do well, you see on films,
right.
Someone's won a load of money.
Right.
Some person comes straight up to them and go, we're going to comp you a room, kind of stuff. And this goes back to casino comp wallet. So how important, like the business side of gambling and comping people, is comping only if you're gambling or would you be comped for other anything else?
A lot of the places now are tying in the promotional card to like eating and buying bottles. And because they realize that a lot of the revenue takes place that way.
Okay.
I could talk about comping for an hour. I don't know if you want to go down that road with me.
Man, if I bring
there's
up
some
the subject,
people, there's some like... people that are super good at it. And there's some people that are just completely incompetent. But, there's a property in Atlantic City. It's owned by a hedge fund called Luxor. And these guys are math guys and they accidentally ended up with a property in Atlantic City. It used to be the Revel. Now it's called Ocean Atlantic City. These guys are brilliant. They get it. They understand it. They're working it. I've studied their numbers and I look at their numbers and I say, these numbers are beautiful.
In comping, what do people mainly want? Like just a really nice big room or something. Is that really the comp?
People want as much as they can get. But the problem is that people don't understand the Theo. So like, I mean, just to give you an idea.
Can you get gambling money? Like, can you be caught?
Oh,
like,
definitely.
Because I've heard like.
You want to hear my gambling money story? It'll take me 30 seconds.
I've heard people that lose money. Say like you lost $1 million. They might give you, hey, here's 100,000 and you can either leave with it or even gamble that. Like I've heard.
Right. That's called a discount. But I have a personal story. It'll take me 30 seconds if you want to hear it.
If you can do a 30 second policy.
I went to the Mirage. I won. This is 1995 April. My last really big trip here. I gambled $1 million that week. So I went to the Mirage. I won $100,000. I ran over to the Desert Inn, which was right here. This property replaced the Desert Inn. Right. I lost $100,000 on the tables. I lost it so fast that they were counting on the table next to me in order to get the money down in the chute. I went back to the Mirage. I won another $100,000. I came back over here, sat down at the blackjack table. Same thing. They bought in for $100,000. They were counting it at the table next to me. I lost $200,000 at the old Desert Inn in about an hour. I was even on the trip. Was I depressed? Yeah, sort of, because I had won 200 at the Mirage. I lost 200 here. I was walking out the door, the front door right here. Yeah. I thought maybe I did something wrong. You know, it was $200,000 cash. So maybe I violated some laws. Maybe they did. Paul, you know, we don't want you to leave here empty-handed. They took me over to the casino cage, and they handed me $10,000 in cash. They just handed it to me. I didn't ask for it. I was willing to leave here without even a cup of coffee.
That was for losing money.
Right.
Right. So the biggest loser, you get $10,000.
Well, I actually looked up the statistics for the month that I lost $1 million here. So the total blackjack winnings for April 1995, which I was able to get from the Nevada Gaming Commission, was $31 million. 3% of that was mine. Because I lost $1 million.
So you helped build Vegas in some way.
I certainly did.
That's funny.
Well, hello, hello, hello. It's Vegas Paulie C, and this is The Sphere, which is opening up in a few days on Friday night for you two. But I wanted to show everybody what this looks like super up close. I had no idea. Look at these little panels. This is what you're looking at when you look at The Sphere. You're looking at millions of these. This is what they look like. Tell me that's not cool. This is The Sphere. This is right up on top of The Sphere. I'm going to walk up on it once again because I can't believe it. I didn't know they would let people up this close. Look at that. Wow. Look at how cool that is. This is why I love to walk around Vegas, because you get the stories that you would never even think that you could get. And let's walk up. They look like hockey pucks. This is what the Sphere LEDs look like. Super up close. There you go. Vegas Paulie C.
With your social media, like obviously you have been putting a lot of time in it and stuff. And
well, I enjoy it. Doesn't feel like time.
Right. Is that pretty much like what you do for like full time in your head? Like, I mean, because you don't live in Vegas, do you? You kind of
I live in Vegas.
Oh, you do?
I got a rental here on December 1st.
Okay.
So I'm here full time.
Okay.
So the most important thing to me is my physical fitness. So I walk really long distances and I'm in the gym all the time. So secondarily to that is, of course, the social media and now the taco shop, which is extremely important to me.
How's the taco shop doing? Like, how long has it been open for?
Mind blowing.
Is it line out the door? 2 months?
23 days.
That's all?
Line out the door.
So it opened what? Like just
January 3rd.
Okay. And you're looking for a second location?
We already got one. We got one today.
So running a restaurant or takeaway or whatever, like that is when people are important, because you've got the place.
No, I do nothing.
Are serving.
I do nothing.
No, but how hard is it to find someone that's...
Well, the guy that I, you know, it's like my partner said to me, Jose the Taco guy, who I love. He said to me, we got Otani or Ohani, whoever that famous baseball player is. He said, we have the Otani of tacos. And it's really true. I mean, it's the guy's doing it for 26 years, working for somebody in all of these taquerias or whatever, you know, taco shops. And he makes it effortless. He knows every aspect of every part of the food. So all I do is promotion and eat. That's it.
Yeah. How often do you go there?
I'm there every single night, but I missed last night because I was wiped out by life. And I went to sleep early last night.
Are you just filming there, or are you like eating there?
I go on the live. Maybe I do a promotion. I talk to the people. There's diehards, and I love every one of them. We call them, you know, OGs. There's diehards on my show that if I was to put this on right now, they'd be on. I can name the 10 people who will be on there. So I have a couple of hundred diehards. So no matter what, I have 300 people watching the Trompo go around, and we talk about the Trompo, and, you know, and I'm very honest. It's like, yeah, I lost $44,000. Yeah, I'm failing. Like all the way up until I opened this shop, you know, I'm failing horribly financially.
Yeah. But this is a bit of a turnaround, because this has come from doing the TikTok and meeting these guys.
Right.
Starting something new.
Well, everything in life is like that.
Yeah. Do you still think about the comping? Like with the money that you put into this casino comp wallet,
would
there be a version 2 somehow? Like
if I met the right people who believed in it and understood my vision.
Is it all digital?
It's all digital.
All digital.
Yeah. It's an actual app that sits on your phone.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But
it needs a casino behind it.
Okay.
Nobody wants me.
Yeah. So from what you said on this podcast, there's like probably like 80% don't want to work with you.
Right. Yeah.
but there are people that may, because you only need one person.
There are people, you know, there are people that, you know, I always say this on the live. The casino hotel that needs me the absolute least in Las Vegas is the Wynn Encore, right? And they're like the only people that I have a great, you know, that talk to me. And Jonathan Jostle at the Plaza, because he gets it. He's young. He's proactive. He understands social media. He's doing a bunch of social media deals. So there's primarily two people who talk to me. The casino hotel that needs me the absolute least, and they're fantastic because they're, you know, it goes back to Steve Wynn again. He hired all gorgeous personalities. If you go to XS Nightclub, right? And I feel so bad that I don't remember the name of the stage manager who was to my right and who I'm friendly with. I follow him on Instagram. He follows me. Might have been Randy. I apologize, Randy. I'm probably confusing you with Randy Gladden. But he's a gorgeous personality. They have another guy here named David Haddon. He's part of the Wynn Encore. They have another person here named Natalia that I've dealt with. These people are, they've just got it. You know when someone just has that wonderful personality, they come towards you with their energy. They want to make you happy. They want
to. I do, to be honest, like, obviously, this studio is in the Wynn.
Right.
Right. So I had no idea what the Wynn was going to be like.
Right.
I knew what the studio was going to be like. I know the tech. Well,
look how beautiful this is.
Yes. Amazing.
Yeah.
When I walk into the Wynn, it's like bustling. Like, I don't think there's any other place that you go into that it's got a vibe here for sure.
A vibe. It's got a vibe like nowhere else.
Yeah. Like, even when you go through the gambling bit, There's loads of people gambling as well.
It's
like, you go through
amazing.
Some hotels and it's just like no one's gambling at all.
I can talk about it until I'm purple. Steve had it. Steve knows it. Steve had every part of it.
Yeah. I'm glad, to be honest, that it's by, I'm just thinking like it could have been like another world where I have no idea, like, say like the Wynn didn't like you or something. It's going, oh yeah, I got Vegas Paulie C on the show.
Oh, shout out. I forgot to shout out Sebastian. He's another guy. So Sebastian works at the Wynn Encore. He works at the XS Nightclub, right? So I contact him. I say, Sebastian, I'd really like to bring the entire taco shop to XS Nightclub. Boom, 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 boom. The whole thing's happening February 7th.
Oh, cool.
And that's exciting.
Was it like free tacos or like?
No, they're going to give me a
$50 tacos.
They're going to give me a couch and drinks at XS, and I'm going to bring my whole taco crew there.
Oh,
because you have to understand.
Oh, just for morale, like saying go.
Well, I need you to really understand this because it's going to be a very good window into my life. I'm an awkward guy. I'm a nerd. I'm a guy who didn't go to the prom. I'm a guy who could never get a girl. I'm that guy. So I never went to XS ever. I walked into XS on New Year's Eve of this year. They pulled me out of the line. They were like, Vegas Paulie C. They all knew who I was. They put me up on the stage with the chain smokers. I stood there in front of 4,000 kids. They probably
were like, the 6-foot model.
Who's this old? Yeah. Who's this old man up here? And I had an experience that I never thought I would have in my entire life. So immediately I say to myself, well, all these people that work with me at the taco shop, they're probably never going to have this experience in their life, right? Let's take them all to the Wynn and give them this experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. So you can have a table and
right,
some drinks
right.
And just spend the night
And I'm
there.
So excited about it because I just want to take these employees to see this. Yeah. I really do.
How many people are going to go?
I want to say 15.
15.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's funny. A couple of the kids are only 19, so they can't come. But, you know, I wish.
You have to be 21 to
21,
go in.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're under 21, you get this big X put on your hand.
You know,
like,
I don't
do
know.
Do that? They might do that.
I might have to find out about that because there's a couple of kids that are in training who are 19. Who
I mean, I haven't done this. Like, I can ask the guys in the studio. They may know.
Yeah.
Do you have to be 21 or can you be under 21 to go into XS Nightclub? Do you guys know in the tech room? Okay. All right. Going to look into it.
But it'll be fun. And it's something that was fun for me. And something I never thought I would see. And, you know.
Yeah. Jose Taco Guy, like, could he be a personality? If you don't want to be a personality, like, could he be?
Yo, he's great.
Kind of-
he's great. He's way more of a people person than I am.
Yeah.
Like, Jose.
It's like every company knew, you know, it's like Steve Jobs for Apple. He was, like, the best guy standing up on stage and
right.
giving a presentation. Like, Bill Gates wasn't. And then they got Steve Ballmer to be the guy on stage.
Right.
So, like say with always like even what you've been saying about these casinos and people
yeah.
like you know I have to stick up for the other casinos as well but like you know not every person that works at the Wynn is going to have a glorious personality and
yeah maybe, but he got enough of them over here
yeah this that, is the old school
that it's really keeping, you know I mean that's you know if I was running one of these places the first thing I would do he would interview 20 people and he would hire the gorgeous personalities I don't know any other way
gorgeous
could,
what
gorgeous.
Did I say I didn't
maybe say, glorious. I don't know.
I don't know what I said now.
But that's what he called.
Rewind the tape.
Because it's a it's a customer focused business. You know?
Yeah. Okay, so you do have to be 21 to get into that club. So that's a shame for the.
It is a shame, but you know, hopefully we have a big company in front of us, and hopefully these kids will be with us when they're 21.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll take them in 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's something to look forward to, right?
Well, we'll do it if we're still around and it's successful and everybody has a good time. We'll do it at least once a year.
I think it'll still be around.
You think the tacos will still be around?
Yeah, I think like so. Have you heard of a guy called Marcus Lemonis?
Yes.
Okay. So he does the
restaurant rescue.
Yeah, but not restaurant rescue. No. He does
bar rescue?
No. He does just any type of business, okay. But it normally is like it's a company like they could be building RVs or they could have a restaurant. Right. And he has the three P's, which is like I think it's like the process, the people and the product. And he says we've got to have all three. And most companies like are missing one. Like their product's not very good, but the people are good and the process is good, et cetera.
I think we have all three. I got to be honest.
Right. Yeah. So I think if you've got those three, then you can have a successful business.
The marketplace will tell us. I always say that.
Well, I think if you're saying there's two, I don't know, you know, the figures like are probably going to be a bit off. We'll have to Google it, but however many taco shops there are in any major city, especially Vegas,
the
competition is a lot.
A lot.
But it's something that people go and eat, right? So it's a fast food item, right?
I've never had it in my life. And, you know, I invested in this and I hadn't tasted them because I'm an idiot. And I tasted it that first night in his backyard. And I looked at my girlfriend, Mahi, who's not easy. She's not an easy girl as far as making her happy with food. And she went, oh my God. Wow. And I was like, oh, thank God. You know, happy wife, happy life.
Right. So when I went there, like if I had my normal mentality, I would have said, I just want it plain.
Right.
And just some ketchup on it like that.
But you see the way all the flavors just come together.
So I just ordered it.
Right.
Said, just do it how you do it.
Right.
I just didn't want onions. And I ate the whole thing and there was nothing in there that I didn't like.
It all
and
comes
everything,
together.
All the juices, there's all stuff that I would never normally have. And normally I just have like a hot dog with ketchup, a steak with ketchup, right? So these must have.
Are you an Englishman?
I am, yes.
As I see that.
Yeah.
From your diet, sir.
No, not from my diet. you can definitely get a little bit fatter if in America.
Right. A little bit fatter in America?
Maybe a lot fatter.
I mean, you Europeans have to be looking at us and going, what the hell is going on over there?
Well, I've been in America. I was actually raised in America as a kid.
Okay.
And then me and my brother came back when we were like kind of mid-20s. So I consider myself American, but I was, you know, raised in the UK.
Yeah, but you weren't really in America during the fat years. Things really started to go down the toilet around 1990.
Well, definitely when you come to America, there are everything is an extreme.
Right.
And if you want the biggest, the most money, whatever.
Right.
That is what America is known for.
Of course.
Right.
Yes.
But it's weird. Like, I think like being from the UK and living in America, being American citizen, all that, it is funny. Like, how people perceive people from England.
Right.
Like I consider myself American and then they start talking about the UK and it's just like so off.
Right.
And I think it's just because, you know, are you world traveled? If you're not, if you haven't been to the UK and Europe and you don't know the different places and regions and stuff, you know nothing apart from what you see like on Netflix or something.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily negatives. Like if you said to me, I want you to tell me the first thing that you think about English people. Like the first thing that would come to my mind is like under control. In other words, you're not doing the insane gluttony. You're not doing you're not taking things too far.
Okay.
You're under control.
Thinking a little bit more.
Right. You're under control. Like in America, I mean, me personally, I'm out of control. Like I have to watch myself every single day. But I think Americans are out of control.
Yeah. I would say anyone that wants to follow Vegas Poor EC, Casino Comp Wallet on TikTok and Instagram, I think you're going to like enjoy the feed. Getting a full meal of Vegas Poor EC is a lot.
It's a lot. It's a little too much.
Yeah. And but to be honest, anyone that comes on the Battle Approved podcast, like I think that, that person's battle approved. They've been through a lot. So getting to a lot of gambling and you said you spent a lot of money, that means you're not stupid. It means you've made money in the past, right? So what did you, when we were talking about 9/11, which is
And so I've done 20 businesses in my life. Well, 21 now with the taco shop, let's just say. So I've done, before the taco shop, I had 20. 18 were just terrible failures. Like I had $75,000 in a cell charging company.
Well, talk about the ones that have been successful.
So the two successful companies were when I was 21, my mother looked at me and she said, do this. This will be good for you. And she bought me 3 payphones from her friend Claire. And she sent me to go meet Claire. And I started with 3 payphones. And, you know, I deserve so little credit for my success. So that's why I tell the story correctly. So it was my mother's idea. She handed me 3 payphones, which was worth $5,000. I did pay her
back. It's actually who you know because...
Well, I knew my mother.
Yeah, but then there's this woman, Claire, that's giving you this
opportunity. So she had this friend, Claire. So I built that up to 20 payphones just by... I bought a few more locations.
Is this in Long Island?
No, New York City.
New York City, okay.
And then I took over Claire's route.
So they like all on corners mainly?
No, they were all indoors at the time for the most part. Inside laundromats, bars, whatever.
Oh, okay.
So the outdoor stuff came later.
How do you get them? Like,
somebody signed a contract. Somebody got that. There was a salesman. You would pay $200 to get the location.
Oh, but there's not a payphone in there at the time.
There could be. So you could be replacing a Bell payphone or you could be doing a new one.
Okay.
So I built it up to 20 payphones and every week I made $1,000 and every week I either gambled away or wasted the money on things not to be mentioned on your podcast. That was every single week. So this went on for about a year. And I was making my $1,000 a week. And my friend who lived around the corner from me, his name was Bruce. He looked at me and he knew I was a lunatic. We all found out later why I am a lunatic. It's the CCAATT. But he also knew that I had good ideas. And he said, look, I'm going to give you all my bar mitzvah money. It was $25,000 and we'll go into business together. And I will quit my job at Price Waterhouse. He's highly educated. He went to University of Pennsylvania Wharton School. He got a 179 on the LSATs, which is unheard of. So he's super smart. So my mother's idea, Bruce came in and set a lot of the parameters, a lot of my creativity. That's what I brought to the, you know, I came up with some crazy ideas for the payphones. A lot of my creativity. We sold it after, we went in business of October of 87. We sold it in June of 94. We got $6 million, $3 million each. $1 million was cash. $1 million was notes and stock and $1 million was equipment.
What was a personal company that bought it?
A European guy.
Okay. Was he like in the same business, the same kind of business?
He was in the operator service business and he was just like a low end European financier who was in on a lot of these. I would call this like, you know how they have the A list, the B list, the C list of deals. Mm-hmm. This was like the G list, you know, like we're all the way down there. A $6 million deal is nothing to Wall Street. You know what I mean? We were all the way at the bottom, but he was interested and he actually bought it from us and he sold it like a year later. He made $1 million on it, but it was garbage. I mean, we bought it back 10 years later for 10 cents on the dollar. I got $1 million on June 3rd, 1994, and it was all completely gone by April 23rd of 1995.
What was the second business?
So the second business was in the early aughts around 01, 02. The telephone company was allowing you to lease lines from them. So we were buying lines from Verizon and reselling them to businesses. And I started that with my partner, Ronnie. And that business only got up to about maybe it was grossing $1.5 million. But that business, because we were getting the dial tone so cheaply, now reinvigorated the payphone business. So in 2003, 2004, I got back with my original partner, Bruce, and we acquired all kinds of payphones and we built that up all over again.
Did you ever get into mobile at all?
Cellular came along in 2011 and that was... These are really not individual businesses. I see them all as one business.
If this wasn't one of the successful businesses,
this was my most successful. Oh. Google needed something that I had. So 2015 came along. I had a cellular CLEC. I was doing cellular. Google needed what I had. It was individual lines connected to copper through a box that converted the signal. Google needed it 5,000 times every month. So I got a contract with Google and I paid back all this money I owed from gambling.
That's cool.
I paid off all my gambling debt.
You got a place on the East Coast as well, like a house you say that you don't want to sell.
I don't want to sell it.
Is that because you kind of bought the land and you built the house and you're kind of very
emotional attachment. Yeah.
Okay. I had one of those.
But it's completely inappropriate.
Yeah. If you don't need it and like, I would say get rid of it.
You let go of it.
Yeah. And you won't have any regret either.
I will.
You won't. Believe me. Not if you want to stay in Vegas.
I'd have to see your genetics to answer that.
Okay. We'll have to do something more.
23andMe.
23andMe. Okay. All right, cool. Well, I think like that's it, I think.
Okay.
I think we're done on there. Like, you can definitely talk a lot about stuff, but my advice to you would be keep doing the TikTok and Instagram. Keep doing what you're doing, right? Forget about the whole the marketing lady and stuff like that.
Right.
She's going to do her thing. You're going to do your thing. You don't need to butt heads on it anymore. Move away from it.
You know what that's like? That's like telling a nuclear reactor that it does not need uranium or plutonium, whatever it uses. It doesn't need fuel.
Nah, I think like your girlfriend would know, just don't bother doing it. Like,
yeah, you don't know me.
Well, the thing that will hopefully help your situation, from what I can tell as an outsider and a fan of watching you on TikTok, is the taco shop. Because I've been to a taco shop, and if it's making money and stuff, and you can do locations. But
you have to understand the very core of me. The very core of me is that you don't understand the core of me.
No,
this is all just an accident.
I'm not that
overly invested.
Yeah.
I'm doing it because the marketplace enjoys it. I love making people laugh. I love entertaining people. And so we just continue on our path. Like, I will never change my path. Like, I'm dyed set in the wool. When you have a serious genetic mutation, it's like telling someone who's blind, you need to see now.
Mm.
Or someone who's deaf, you need to hear now. I can't stand any more of this, not being able to hear. So you're not really understanding me, but that's okay.
Oh, well, me personally?
Yes.
No, I am. But I'm not a shrink, or I'm not like.
Well, it doesn't matter what a shrink tells me, because this is a genetic disease I have.
Yeah,
but it doesn't really matter what a shrink tells me.
Yeah. Okay.
I keep it very real, very honest. I'm telling you, like, well, if someone goes to the doctor who's deaf and they say, "No, you need to hear now," no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Every part of my core is driven by exactly who I am,
yeah.
And part of my allure, for lack of a better word. Is the fact that this is very real, and that I'm a very damaged person, a broken toy, and I have my strange proclivities. That's part of what's driving it. There's no BS on the Vegas Pauly C show. This is who I am 24/7. If I had my way, and my girlfriend doesn't want this, but if I had my way, I'd be broadcasting from the bedroom. Because that's just who I am.
Might be, the followers might go...
That
like
be,
all these numbers are...
It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter.
Well, the Vegas Pauly C show, I kind of think like that's a little bit humorous because you haven't really got a show, but it's called the Vegas Pauly C
but
show.
But there is a show. Have you been on the live?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Like the show, but I'm going to bring it around, is that the other cool thing about it is, well, technically you have got a show because, like, again, TikTok, all social media,
right.
That is the new TV.
That
is the new movies and stuff. Like, how many times do you go see a movie each year?
But what's great about it is...
How many times do you go see a movie?
I don't.
There you go. But how many times do you look at your phone and watch things?
Well, I try and go live pretty much every day.
Yeah.
But the chat is the show. Like, the people are the show.
Right.
So I always say that the chat is the content and I'm just the conduit. If you knew how many ideas I get from the people... I could never do a radio show in a million years because I don't have enough content. I don't have enough to say. I'm a boring person. But if you are transmitting to 300 people who are asking questions, who are making comments, who are engaging you, that's the content right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that I'm on TikTok and I can read fast and walk at the same time and engage everybody.
Yeah, so I've seen it.
That's the show. And
most of that is actually very positive, like what they're saying.
Right, right, right.
And what you're talking about.
Unless a skivok comes into the room.
But I think also like the walking.
Yeah.
You know, that's good exercise. So that is probably, because out of all exercises, if I exercise and I need to lose like 20, 30 pounds myself, like actually walking and running is the best exercise out of everything. Because like I do swimming and weights. When you're doing swimming and weights, like swimming, it's like too slow for me. I'm thinking negative stuff.
Right, right.
When I'm walking and running, I'm never thinking negative, like a family member died, or I'm never thinking anything like negative on that.
But there's also,
so that's why the live thing is positive. And that is the Vegas Pauly C show. And that's why you're here today.
But there's a physiological reason why it's taking place. So when I walk like that, my dopamine goes through the roof.
Yeah.
Because I'm exercising and I'm getting all of those endorphins. And
yeah.
So since my dopamine is up, then I want to engage people. Then I want to give to people. I want to give them the answers I can give them. I want to entertain them. Right. I want to make them laugh.
So if you did a 24-hour radio show, my advice to you is get a treadmill. So then you're walking.
Right. But I'd need to be,
I need
to be talking to the audience.
Yeah. Well, you still can as you're on a treadmill, right?
And right. I need to be talking to the audience. Like, I need, the audience is extremely important. That's the whole show.
We'll get a treadmill in the studio and do a 24-hour thing.
As long as there's people there.
They'll be your followers, right? Yeah. So I wonder how many people you could bring in. So I'm doing a 24-hour walking marathon.
Well, I would die. I can only do about 2 hours and I run out of energy. It's extremely exhausting to talk and walk.
Yeah. Walking and talking.
Walking and talking. It takes 2 hours.
Yeah.
And reading. And engaging. And answering.
How do you... I'll finish on this, actually. As I'm getting older, I have got glasses, which is why I'm not really like looking at anything. I don't want to put on the glasses, right? The phone's very small and people are saying stuff like, how are you having to go like this? Or is your eyesight quite good?
I'm blessed.
Have you had LASIK?
No.
Do you have to wear glasses for reading? That's amazing. That's good.
I'm just blessed. I don't know. I'm very lucky.
Yeah. Maybe it's that mutation eyeball.
It could be.
All right, man.
All right.
Thanks for your time.
No problem.
All right.
Do you want me to do my outro? No outro?
Yeah. You definitely do an outro.
He didn't want an outro. What am I doing?
That's true.
Okay, you ready?
Do an outro.
Vegas, Paulie C. Oh, yeah.